Amen. I love him too this morning. I hope you do too. And he's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. Acts chapter number 27 this morning. Acts chapter number 27. It's a very interesting thought that I want to try to give to you here from the Word of God. And I hope to be a blessing and a help to your heart this morning. I believe that in our services, if we would be honest with each other and we would be honest with ourselves, that on every aisle and every chair or close to you, there is a representation of somebody that either is broken or has been broken. I believe with all my heart that we come to church sometimes and we want to feel or portray ourselves like we have it all together. And we put our glad rags on, and we put our smiley face on, and we straighten our lives up. We come in, and we do our best to live a life that does not necessarily portray what's going on the inside. And if we're not careful this morning, we will take what God is doing in our life, and we will discard it and think that we are no longer of any use to God. And I want to look this morning at what the Bible says about some various things here. In Acts chapter number 27, we'll read one verse and we'll get started here. And I want to give you the thought, and I hope it'll be a help to you this morning. Acts chapter number 27 and verse number 44, this is at the end of this storm. Paul and these men have got on this ship. This ship was sailing along, trying to get to their destination, and something happened called a storm. This storm, it was so large, it had a name. The name was called Euroclydon. Before it was all said and done, by the end of the chapter, there was 276 souls on board. The ship that was sailing was now blown all to pieces. There was nothing left of the ship, and there was nothing but a bunch of bodies and lives and men that were scattered abroad here in the last part of Acts chapter number 27. And the Bible says, verse number 43, let's go ahead and read verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim would cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. So we've got these men that were swimming. But then in verse number 44, the Bible says, and the rest, these were those that could not swim for whatever reason, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. We find here that the Bible mentions that this ship is no longer a ship that is sailing, but rather it is a ship that is called a ship that has been broken to pieces. So I want to preach this morning and look at a few things from the Bible on how does God use broken things. Can God take something that has been broken all to pieces and still use it for His honor and for His glory? You know, sometimes you ask yourself, how does God use broken things? Again, every single one of us this morning, if we would be honest, you would have to say that some point in time in your life, something in your life, someone in your life is broken. It's not together. It's not whole. There are people here this morning who are broken. But can I just say on the forefront of the message, God, He does use broken things. He does use broken things. How does things get broken? You ever wonder how our lives get broken? Sometimes things get broken from misusing something. Some of you this morning, you have misused your body through the years. And you know what happened eventually? It broke. Whether it was drugs or whether it was alcohol or whether it was overeating or whatever it was, you did something to your body, and sometimes your body breaks because of misuse. Sometimes your mind breaks from mind-altering things, sometimes because of devastation in your life. Or again, there's things in our life that are misused. We misuse our mind. We misuse our talents. Maybe you misused your time or your treasure, and now because of misuse of those things, it is now broken. Sometimes things are broken because of misuse. Sometimes things are broken because it was just an accident. I mean, have you ever just broke something by accident? Maybe you was walking down the sidewalk to go to your car and it was a little bit icy and you slipped and fell and you broke something. You didn't mean to do that, but you know what? It's still broken. Whether you got a broke hip or a broken arm or whatever it might be, you slipped and you fell. Maybe it was a car wreck that wasn't your fault. But you know what it is? It's still broken. Misuse, sometimes it's accident. Sometimes things are broken because of strain. Did you know that none of us were designed to take all the things that we go through? He said, well, the Bible says God won't put on you more than you can bear. Can I say this morning, God will put on you more than you can bear. If it wasn't true this morning, then you wouldn't be broken. People misquote the Bible, don't they? I mean, if it wasn't true, we wouldn't have the mess that we're in this morning. Paul said this. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, I was pressed out of measure. Paul said, I was pressed out of strength, above strength, insomuch that he despaired even unto life. Sometimes you put too much pressure on something. You know what happens? It eventually will break. And some of you had too much strain, too much pressure put on your life, and now your marriage is broken, or your children are broken, or your body's broken, or your mind's broken, or your walk with God's broken. It's broken this morning because of too much strain. Sometimes others will break your life. It wasn't your fault. You were going along serving God, doing real well. Tried to raise your kids for the Lord, did your best to pray for them, raise them in the house of God, raise them in Sunday school, raise them in Wednesday night church, raise them on Sunday night church, did all you could, had family devotions. And you know what your children did? Some of them said, you know what? I'm done serving God. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with the Bible. And they walked out and they did their own thing because they have a free will, and your children have broken you. So how do you know? You got a broken heart. Stay up at night wondering what they're doing, where they're at, what you did wrong, what you could have done different, what you could have said that maybe wouldn't have pushed them over the edge. But this morning you're broken because maybe it's an ex-husband or an ex-wife, someone that said, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm out. And they walked out and it broke your heart, broke your children, broke your family. Wasn't your fault. Somebody else, maybe it was a drunk daddy or a drunk husband or an unfaithful mom. Some of your children had parents that were unfaithful to each other. And now here you are as a little child. You're trying to survive in this broken, sin-cursed world. And here you are. It wasn't your fault, but somebody else broke you. Amen. And here you are. You're sitting here this morning trying to look the best you can, but deep down in your heart, you are broken. Sometimes you can be broke on purpose. It's not a bad thing. You go down to Lawrence Lumber and you buy you a 2x4 or a 2x6 or whatever lumber you need to buy. You don't keep it the length that you bought it. You know what you got to do? You got to cut it down. You got to break it. But even if God breaks you on purpose, and by the way, some of you God broke on purpose. But even if you're broke on purpose this morning, you're still broken. Still broken. Sometimes people have a broken body, illness and cancer and diabetes and heart problems. Doing the best you can just to get to the house of God, Brother Tony. Best you can to try to endure through a service and tired and swollen and trying to figure out in your mind. You say, what is that? That's a broken body. Sometimes people have a broken spirit. Some of you this morning, your body's just fine. You're healthy. I mean, you are as healthy as a racehorse. You're healthy. Thin. Blood pressure good. I mean, everything's great. Stout, strong, your body's fine, but your spirit's broken. Sometimes the loneliest people in a crowd are those people who have the healthiest bodies. You have a wounded spirit this morning. Sometimes people are broken by circumstances. Circumstances that were in your control or out of your control. Sometimes it's grief. Sometimes it's losing a loved one. Sometimes your finances will break you. You ever heard someone say that before? Man, I'm broke. You know what that means? I don't have no money. You know what that is? They're broken. Sometimes family will betray you and walk out on you. Children go prodigal and you feel like it's your fault. Spouses decide they don't want to follow Jesus Christ. Sometimes a transition in life or ministry will break an individual. I've seen this before. There's a time in that person's life, maybe it's someone in the ministry, like a pastor or an evangelist, and they knew exactly what God wanted them to do. Maybe it was a pastor that pastored a thriving church and they had a good salary and they had a parsonage or they had a house to live in and they had a big congregation. Everybody was on board. There was unity, harmony, and charity. And boy, God was blessing. But now they come to a point in their life where there's a transition in life. Things are changing because in life things change whether you want them to or not. You can't stop change. And transition, if you're not careful, will break you. Now they find themselves in a place, maybe because of age or health circumstances or other circumstances that were out of their control. There's a change and transition in life and in ministry. I've seen missionaries that had to come off the field because of visa problems. Things that were out of their control, and now here they are. They won't renew their visa. They've been on the field for years. They get kicked out of the field, and they're back in the States, and they're wondering, how are we going to make it? What are we going to do? We don't have a clue where we're going to go, what church we're going to go to, what ministry we're going to be involved in. You say, what is it? It's things that happen that are out of our control, circumstances, but regardless, they're still broken. They're broken. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're broken. Maybe something I mentioned here, and I'm sure there's some other ways that people get broken. But I've got good news for you this morning. God uses broken things. There's a few principles I want to pull out. The first one is right here in the text that we read, Acts chapter number 27. How does God use these broken things? Look in verse number 44 again. The Bible says right here, the rest of these men, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. There's number one, what I would call the principle of the broken ship. He said, what is God trying to show us here with the principle of the broken ship? Is God wants you to know this morning that God is going to use you in the same way after you are broken as He did before you were broken. You see, the ship, when it was whole, you know what it was used for? It was used to get people across the ocean to dry land. Now the ship is broken all to pieces. It's no longer a whole vessel, but rather it's a piece of board here and a piece of board there, broken boards there, scattered all to and fro. You know what's going on? These men are grabbing a hold of this ship. Danny, you know what's going on? They're still getting safe to the land. You know what God's trying to show us this morning? That even after you are broken, God is able to use you in the same way after you are broken as He did before you were broken. I'm glad this morning that God can still use broken things. Your brokenness does not always take away the way that God has been using you. Your life this morning may be broken in a million pieces, but God could take the broken pieces of your life as He did this ship and use them like He did before the devastating storm came into your life. You know what man would say? Man would say about that ship is broken, therefore it can no longer sail. It can no longer be used to get a man to dry land. But God says, hey, even after the ship is broken all to pieces because of the storms of life, God said, I'm going to take the broken pieces of this ship and I'm going to use them to bring some safe to the land. I'm glad, thank God, I've seen God do it. I know some men right now, they pastored a church and their wives left them, and man, they were in devastation. Devastation. Trying to keep their life afloat, wondering, man, what did I do wrong? I tried to serve God. I tried to raise my family for the Lord. Then some of the brethren would come in and say, you can't pastor anymore because your wife left you. By the way, there's a lot of wives that would use that as leverage to manipulate their husband. Say, I have the power to make you or break you. If you don't give me what I want, all I got to do is leave. Your ministry's over. God can no longer use you anymore. God can no longer put his hand on you anymore. And then they leave. The man finds himself broken. And he's thinking to himself, God can't use me anymore. I'm too broken. I don't have it together. How am I going to lead the house of God when my wife leaves me? God steps in and says, she didn't call you. I called you. He said, well, it takes two. It does take two. But sometimes, if one of the parties decide they don't want to serve God, you can't control them. By the way, God don't force himself upon anybody. Some of you had a spouse that left, and the devil beat you up all the time about it. What'd you do wrong? You might not have done much wrong. You might have just been doing right, and the reason why they rejected you is because you were doing right, and they wanted to do wrong. And here you sit, saying, could God use me? Because I'm so broken. But God's got the example in the Bible of the broken ship. And he wants you to know this morning that he can still use you in the same way after you're broken as he did before you were broken. Don't let the devil beat you up and tell you that you can't be used anymore. God still has a plan. You say, how do you know? I'm living proof this morning. My life, I've been broken. I can go back down. I won't give you illustrations this morning. First of all, I don't have time. And number two, it's really nobody's business, but Brian Green knows. And I stand here today as living testimony of a man that God can take and he can break, whether it was on purpose or whether it was just the circumstances of life that were out of control. And I stand here this morning preaching this upon the authority of the Word of God, that God can, he can still use you in the same way after your life is broken as he did before you had it all broken to pieces, when you had it all together. It's the principle of the broken ship. But then turn your Bible to Mark chapter number 8. There's another principle here on how God uses broken things. Mark in chapter number 8, in verse number 8. Now in your Bible, we always hear about the feeding of the 5,000, but did you know there was a time when the Lord sat some people down and he fed the 4,000? He didn't just feed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000 too. We don't hear about that as much because it's a little bit smaller number, but this is the feeding of the 4,000. Mark chapter number 8, the Bible says here that Jesus set them down and they had these, verse 7, they had a few small fishes. Let's read back to verse number 6. And he commanded the people to set down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and he gave thanks. And he broke and he gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. He blessed and commanded to set them also before them, verse 8. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the, notice your wording here, broken meat that was left 7 baskets. Here in the text, Jesus feeds the 4,000 with 7 loaves. And the Bible just says it's a few small fishes. They weren't very big. And he sets down 4,000 and he feeds the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few small fishes. And the Bible says that when they took of the broken meat, that there were 7 baskets left. You say, what's the principle of the broken meat? There was the principle of the broken ship. But now we see here the principle of the broken meat, and this is what God is trying to show us this morning. Not only can God use you the same way after you're broken as he did before you were broken, as is illustrated with the broken ship, but with the broken meat, God is going to use you in a greater way now that you are broken than he did before you were broken. Did you know that this meat had bites taken out of it? 7 loaves and a few small fishes, 4,000, they fed them all, and now there is 7 baskets full. Not just 7 loaves and a few, there are 7 baskets full. You say, what happened? After that meat was broken, after that meat had bites taken out of it, after that meat had been passed around and used and abused and handled, you say, what happened? 7 baskets full of leftovers. You say, what's God trying to show us? He's trying to show us that He may just use you in a greater way after you are broken than He did before you were broken. You say, why? Because God uses broken things. When everything is going great and everything's just perfect in your life, guess what? You cannot help anybody. But God's going to see to it that you are broken. He's not going to just use you in the same way. He's going to use you in a greater way after you were broken than He did before you were broken. You say, how do I know that God can do that? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We are a missions-giving church. One of the greatest missions-giving churches that Paul gave testimony to, the trinity of chapters that deals with faith promise missions is found in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10 in your Bible. And these churches, this particular church, Paul said, you want to learn how to give to missions? I'm going to show you the church that did it the best. It wasn't a church with a bunch of money. It wasn't a church with a large attendance. It wasn't a church that had all these rich businessmen and these business owners and everybody had it all together and they're just rolling in the dough. No. Paul said, you want me to show you the church that gave the most to missions that I use in a greater way after they were broken than they did before they were broken? Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1, moreover, brethren, he said, more importantly than everything I've said in the previous 7 chapters, we do you to wit of the grace of God, to know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, you say, what's that? They were broken. The abundance of their joy, they still had the joy. And look at this. And their deep poverty. They just weren't broke. They were ultra broke. I'm talking about they were as broke as a church house mouse. They didn't have much money, but the Bible says it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record. Yea, look at what this says. And beyond their power. You say, what was God doing? God was going to use them in a greater way after they were broken, after the great trial of affliction, after the deep poverty than He did before they were broken. You say, why? Because God can use you in a greater way after you were broken than He did before you were broken. I have seen God do this. I've seen God take the smallest, brokest, broken churches with a disqualified pastor. I've gone to those churches. I've preached a lot of places across the world. I've been to big churches where they give me a little old measly offering that didn't even cover my plane ticket to get there. I'm like, man, what in the world? Then you roll up in this little church with 8 people, preach there for a few days, give you a couple $1,000s. Man, I'm seeing, where'd the money come from? God said, hey, I'll tell you why I used them. Because I used them in a greater way after they were broken than I did before they were broken. God will use you. You say, why am I going through all this brokenness? Because God wants to use you in a greater way than He's using you right now. He'll use you in a greater way. God breaks people so He can use them in a greater way than He ever has. There's the principle of the broken meat. It's the principle of the broken ship. And then look in Job chapter number 2. There's another illustration of something that's broken. I hope by the time we leave this morning, you leave encouraged and you know that God, even though you're going through some heartache and trial, tears, hurt, betrayal, disappointment. I hope you can say that I serve a God that can use me even though my life and my family is all to pieces. Things are not always as they appear. Job chapter number 2 and verse number 8, Job is sitting in the ashes. He's lost, he's broken. He's lost his children, he's lost his health, he's lost his wealth, he's lost his cattle. He's lost all of this. He's got a wife who's struggling. She's bitter. He sits there in verse number 8. The Bible says that Job took him a potsherd. You know what that is? That's a pot that's been broken. It's a sharp piece of a clay pot. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with all, and he sat down among the ashes. You say, what is God trying to show us here? God is going to show us that he can use a broken piece of pottery. It takes somebody broken to comfort somebody who is broken. Here in Job chapter number 8, we find that God is going to take a broken pot and he is going to comfort a broken man. Did you know this morning that when everything is going great and everything is perfect in your life, guess what? You really can't help anybody because you ain't been there. So God's going to put you through something that's broken. And the second principle here, that the broken pot is showing us this, is that God will use you in a different purpose than he originally started using you. You see, before that pot was smooth. That pot was used to carry something. Maybe water. Maybe some other kind of liquid inside that pot. But it was used to carry something. But now after the pot was broken, and it was now a sharp piece of potsherd, it was pieces all over the ground, man would say, that's useless. Let's just pick it up and put it in the trash. God said, no, I got a purpose for that pot. So he's going to take that broken piece of potsherd, and now there's a broken man that's using it to scrape his boils on his flesh. It was used, first of all, to carry something, but now God's using that pot for a different purpose. He's now using it to comfort someone. So why is God breaking me? Maybe you used to carry a lot of loads. And that was the original purpose for your life. And now that you're broken, God don't throw away the broken pieces. He picks up the broken pieces and he will use the brokenness in your life so that you can comfort someone. It's used for a different purpose. A different purpose is not necessarily a bad thing. Now, he might use you in the same way. He might use you in a greater way. Brother John, he might use you in a different way after you're broken than he did before you were broken. The principle of the broken pot. Look in the Bible in the book of Judges, chapter number 7. I'm sorry, Judges chapter number 7. There's another principle I want to show you this morning. The book of Judges, chapter number 7. Not only is there the principle of the broken pot and the principle of the broken meat, the principle of the broken ship, but in Judges chapter number 7, we see here these broken pitchers. P-I-T-C-H-E-R-S. You say, what was God going to do? God was going to have to break these pitchers to reveal something that was within them. Judges chapter 7, verse number 2, we'll read a little bit here. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. God don't share his glory with anybody. Verse 4, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with me, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I will say unto thee, this shall not go with me, the same shall not go. Skip down to verse number 6. The number of them that lapped putting their water in their hand and in their mouth were 300 men. God narrowed this thing down to 300. But of all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Skip down to verse number 16. They're going against the Midianites here. They got these pitchers, these 300 and Gideon. Verse number 16, the Bible says this, and he divided 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in every man's hand, so there's 100 on one side, 100 on another group, and 100 on another group. And the Bible says that they had a trumpet, and then with empty pitchers, these empty pitchers, these empty pots. And the Bible says inside them were lamps within the pitchers of verse 16. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands, left hands, and the trumpets in the right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran, they cried, and they fled. Verse 22, and the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and so on and so forth. You say, what happened here? God shows us here the principle of the broken pitchers. You say, how did they win against the armies of the Midianites? 100 was over here, 100 over here, 100 over here. Each had a trumpet. And when they went in there, the Bible says that those pitchers, they went and at a certain time, and then they blew the trumpet, they had to break the pitchers. You say, why? Because they had to reveal what was inside the pitchers. You say, what was it? It was the light inside of them. So what's God breaking me for? Why is God breaking me? Why am I going through this? Why are the pieces all over the place? Because God wants to manifest Himself in you. But He cannot manifest Himself in you until you're broken. You see, before He breaks you, all they see is what? You. All they see is you. You say, what is this? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, how does this apply to us, Brother Brian? I'm glad you asked. Because the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. You say, what's going on? We live in a dark, depraved, wicked, ungodly world. In verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Why? Because if our gospel, verse 3, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the what? The light. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. You say, what's going on? Why is God doing this? He might be breaking us because the light of the glorious gospel is within these earthen vessels that you and I have. So God has to bring some circumstances in our life and some trials in our life and some heartaches into our life. And He has to take us and break us so He can use us as broken pitchers to shine the glorious gospel light to a lost and dying world. You see, men throw away broken things, but God doesn't do it. God picks up the broken pieces, and He uses them sometimes the same way, sometimes in a greater way, sometimes in a different way, but all the ways is so that God can get the glory, because He doesn't want you to vaunt yourself and say, mine own hand hath done this. He knows where we struggle. If you got good looks, you better thank God and recognize God gave them to you. Don't vaunt yourself in a mirror. You got a prosperous business, don't vaunt yourself and say, look at what I did. You got a successful family, kids that serve the Lord, don't look at others and say, wonder what they did wrong. Probably nothing. Probably had a mama that prayed and a daddy who served God. And a youngin just had a free will. What did God do wrong for his two youngins over in the garden to mess up? Nothing. He was a perfect heavenly father in a perfect environment. People have a free will, and in a perfect environment, they will still mess up. I'll give you one more this morning. Mark chapter number 14. You say, I'm not broken, Brother Brian. Well, maybe God wants you to break something. With your free will that you've got, that He blessed you with, and it's in your power to break it. Did you know God broke something? He said, what did He break? He broke His only begotten Son. Jesus, when He sat down with those disciples, He gave them that bread, gave them that fruit of the vine. And He said there before He was crucified, He said, take, eat. This is My body, which was given for thee. But you know what the Bible says before He said that? He took and He broke the bread. God gave His only begotten Son to you and I this morning, because He knew we were living in a broken, sin-cursed world, and we can't fix ourselves. You have no power within yourself to fix anything that you have wrong. You have a sin problem this morning. You say, I'm religious, Brother Brian. I was raised in this family. I was born in this kind of church, and I've been doing pretty good. I've got it all together. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So God loved you so much, He sent His only begotten Son into this world, His darling, precious, perfect Son of God. And He gave Him for one reason, and that was to be broken. The Bible says that He was wounded for our transgressions. Broken. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are, what? Healed. Because you're broken this morning. Maybe this morning you got it all together as far as your body. Maybe this morning emotionally you got it all together. Financially you got it all together. Your family's all together. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I didn't ask you, are you religious? I didn't ask you if you go to church. I didn't ask you if you give money. I didn't ask you if you have any kind of religiosity about you. I'm telling you this morning, if there's never been a place and time in your life when you stood before a holy God and you recognized that because of sin you were broken and you had no ability to fix yourself, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says because of our sin, the wages of sin, the payment, the price for our sin is death. It's eternity in a lake of fire for all eternity. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know why we're all dying? Because of sin. Because we're broken. The Bible says this. There's good news though. The bad news is you're a sinner. Bad news is you're going to hell. Every single person in here was born a sinner, broken. And without Jesus Christ in your life, you'll die and go to hell without God. If you're a drunk this morning and you quit drinking and you don't get saved, you don't get born again, you don't receive Jesus Christ, but you quit drinking, you know what happened to you? You'll just go to hell sober. But God commendeth His love. He showed His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was broken for us. The Bible says that salvation is a gift. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. You can go to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible institutes. You can get religious. You can give money. You can do all those things and go to hell really religious. You say, what must I do with your broken, sin-cursed soul? You must make yourself available at the feet of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm broken and I know I'm going to hell for all eternity. And I believe that you loved me so much, God loved me so much, that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die. He came for one reason, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost, broken people. And if you've never, at the foot of Calvary, at some point in time in your life, I don't know how you did it. Everybody, it manifests a little bit different as far as the experience. But if you've never bowed your knee at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and recognized you're a sinner on your way to hell and believe that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt and received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never done that this morning, we're going to invite you to do that. I'm not going to preach this point because the Lord said no more right there. This is where God wanted me to be. On a Sunday morning, He was broken for you because you were broken and there's nothing you could do about it. But the good news is you have a free will. You can receive or you can reject. And God's a perfect gentleman. He don't force Himself, Brother Doug, on anybody. He just says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty for Him this morning? Are you tired of being just religious? Are you tired of having this turmoil going on inside you this morning? I got good news. There's a God that loved you so much, He was broken for you. If you'll come and find your place down at this altar, we can take a Bible. If you don't understand it, you say, Brother Brian, I'm still confused. I don't quite understand it. I'm hearing the preaching, but my mind's blind. I recognize I'm blind. The God of this world has blinded my eyes, but I want to see. This morning, if you'll search for God and you'll go after God and you'll humble yourself before God, God will save you today. He'll save you today and He'll keep you saved forever. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul this morning? You're broken. Sinner friend, you're broken. Why don't you come this morning? We're going to give an invitation. Miss Christie or whoever playing the piano, we're going to give an invitation. We're going to invite you with your free will to respond to the gospel, to the wooing and the drawing of a Savior that loves you this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity to come down here and Brother Clark or Miss Rhonda or my wife or myself or Brother Doug or Brother Dwayne or one of these brothers in here, we'll show you, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know that you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. Then, before we pray, and I want to invite you to come, child of God, if you're here this morning while I preached, you said, Brother Brian, I'm broken. My heart's broken. My family's broken. My life's broken. My spirit's broken. My soul's broken. I'm broken. I'm tired of pretending this morning. The Bible says He heals the brokenhearted. That's why I came, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal. This morning, thank God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And forget not His benefits. The Bible says who binds up all of our brokenness and He heals all of our diseases this morning, Jesus Christ is the only hope for you as a sinner or as a saint. As a saint or as an ain't. Jesus Christ is the only hope you got this morning. Why don't you come this morning? Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would bless the invitation. I've done my best to preach what you put on my heart. And I pray this morning, if there's one here, and no doubt there is, that needs to be saved, born again into the family of God, Lord, I pray that you'd help that sinner friend, that individual, with their free will to respond and come down to an old-fashioned altar, or maybe even right there in their pew, with their free will, the best they know how, and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we don't have to be in an altar or even in a church service. We know that this morning. But Father, I pray that it would be clear. There would be no confusion. Bind up the devil and his confusion and all the strongholds of the demons of hell that would love to cause distraction during an invitation. And Father, I pray, Lord, for the saints of God that are here, those in here that are broken, that are hurting, that need some healing. I pray, Lord, that they would come at the foot of the cross, and God, that they would allow you to pick up the broken pieces in their life. Lord, use the truth of the Word of God that you can and will and still do use broken things. Father, bless now the invitation. Do whatever you want to do, and we'll give you the honor, glory, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand this